Right, good singing tonight. Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. But if you would like, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Brother Saul already covered some of this at our Valentine's banquet. For those who were at the Valentine's banquet, I didn't know he was going to do that that evening, but it was a blessing. But we're going to be looking at some more of that today, breaking down some of those things tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house on this midweek service with Valentine's coming up on Saturday. I believe you laid it on my heart to look at love tonight and to look at charity in terms of our marriages here at the church. And I just ask you, Lord, just to lead and guide tonight. I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say as your word is open. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at the word love, it essentially means to cherish and nourish. Cherish means to treat with tenderness and affection, to give warmth, ease, or comfort to. Along with cherishing is to nourish. That means to promote growth. So a big part of love is helping one another grow. Helping one another grow into the man or woman that one should be. Marriage is hard work at times. Love is also hard work. If you remember, Brother Saul mentioned at our Valentine's banquet that love involves emotion, but it's more than emotion, where love is choice. And it's a choice that you have to make day in and day out that you're going to love someone. A good marriage will be a marriage that is centered around love. That is the best kind of marriage, and it truly is worth the work. And we're going to look at love in action as it's found in what many consider to be the love chapter in the Word of God as it deals with charity. I'll begin reading in verse 1 and go down through verse 7. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." When we love someone, we have to then learn to love them properly. This is important because loving someone and loving them properly isn't the same thing. I've had people come to me at different times within their marriage. They're facing different situations, and it's in one of their minds, it's hard to fathom that as a result of what's going on, that love could truly be present in that situation. And I begin to encourage them in the fact that there's a difference between loving someone and then loving them properly. Because we could have a degree of love for someone and then not love them properly. I would say in my own life, I believe my dad loved my mother, and I believe my dad loved me and my sister, but he did not love us properly. Had he loved us properly, he never would have left us. So you see how there's a difference. Sometimes there can be love present, but not love to the proper extent. So let's look at how to love one another properly. We see in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We see the word suffereth long. It's another word for long suffering. So loving each other properly is to be long suffering with one another. Long suffering means long endurance, patience of offense. Now, if you've been married for any length of time, there's going to be offenses. There's going to be things that are said that you don't like. There's going to be things that are done that you don't like. There's going to be times that it's going to feel real personal. But we are to be long-suffering with one another. So a characteristic of love is being patient with one another, being patient in the offenses of one another. Part of marriage is two people living together who are different. I'll be teaching at the, or preaching, whatever you'd call it, at the Valentine's banquet on Friday at Heritage Baptist in Lufkin, and I'm going to be talking about how two are to become one flesh and how you're to work towards that your whole life, your whole marriage. You'll never wake up one day and just be perfectly joined together. You're always going to be working at it. You're always going to be working at two becoming more in unison. Different people. They do different things. They say different things. They have different tastes and preferences. And this will at times drive one another up the wall. I think about this often because me and Sarah have different personalities. She likes to cut up. I do too. I just have a different way to go about it. We both like to have fun. We define fun differently, and then we take different routes to get to fun. But you know, we both enjoy having a good time. But there are differences, and people joke. They laugh all the time, especially back home. Those who know Sarah, you know that it's her home church. They watched her. They changed her diapers and watched her grow up in that church. They know her better than most people do. And then they see me walk in with her. And I got that stoic look. I got that serious look about me at times. And people just automatically, I watch them. They start laughing. And then not long after they get done laughing, it comes out of their mouth. It's like, I just cannot get over it. You with him. Him with you. Because we're different. We are. We're different. And you know what? At times when people who are different are coming together to become one, There's going to be at times bumps in the road. There will be. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. But a characteristic of love is suffering long. Also, love is kind. Kind means disposed to do good to others and to make them happy by granting their requests, supplying their wants, assisting them in distress, having tenderness or goodness of nature. So a husband and wife, you show your love for one another by some of the following things. By being good to one another. By being faithful to one another. This is not just in the area of morality, but just being there, being constant, being steady. Just remembering that you're a husband, remembering that you are a wife, by also making them happy the best that you can. I think about this often, and Sarah, she's more financially conscious at times than I am. She will not tell me that she wants something, because I will go get it. If it's within reason, I will go get it. And she knows I will do that, and she uses that to her advantage and don't tell me. Some things, obviously, if she wanted, it's outside of reason. I wouldn't give it any other thought. But she knows. If she says it, I'm going to do whatever I can to make it happen. Also, by doing all that you can to fulfill their request, by lifting them up when they're down. This is in part kindness. Don't walk past one another in the home and see where one of them is down and don't take the time to stop and spend time with them and try and encourage them and lift them up. Being tender towards one another. Having a good nature towards each other. That this is kindness in action, and it's kindness that is rooted in love. And when you love one another properly, you'll be kind to one another. You also won't do things purposely to hurt each other. Now, I do remember when we were first married, we were away from the Lord. We were away from the Lord, and the Marines, and people who are away from the Lord will argue like they're away from the Lord. People who are away from the Lord, they're going to fight like they're away from the Lord. That's just the way it goes. And there were times, and we look back on it, we regret it now, but we remember the things when we were away from the Lord that we said to each other purposefully to injure each other, all because we were upset. We see also again in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, we see the phrase charity envieth not. Envy means to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. So love doesn't envy one another. Love doesn't say to itself, just by example, I'm really not happy with your promotion at work, or some good that came your way, or I'm not happy with how much money that you may make, or I'm envious against you because maybe you're meeting your fitness goals or whatever goals in your life quicker than what I would be. Charity vaunteth not itself. I was watching a show one time, and it was about weight loss. I don't know why I do that to encourage me a little bit, but I do that, and it's amazing. Sometimes the couples, they got the same goal, and one of them's doing better than the other one, and this one over here just about wants to kill him because this one over here might be doing a little better. Hey, but love is not envious. It's not loving properly. It's not envious. Charity vaunteth not itself, so love does not vaunt itself. The word vaunt means vainly boasted of or displayed. In our homes, we don't walk around it as if we are the big chief on the block. I was about to say the big queen on the block, but I probably shouldn't say that. Said big chief, I got myself in trouble. This is a little bit of a sidebar here. I asked a lady at the checkout the other day, on the candy bar, I said, why does this say king size instead of queen size? She laughed. She laughed. Now, I could tell she was somebody I could cut up with. I could look at her and tell she wasn't sensitive. She was at a truck stop working at the truck stop. Not the ladies that work at truck stops or not ladies or anything, but she just stopped. Yeah. But I could tell she was serious, and I knew she could handle my joke. I wouldn't have done that at Starbucks. I wouldn't have asked that at Starbucks. You can do that at the truck stop, not Starbucks. You got to pick your locations and your battles. With those things. What's that, brother? I had a good time with Sarah about it first. Had I not had a good time with Sarah about it first, I probably wouldn't have done that. But love doesn't vaunt itself. Again, the word vaunt means vainly boasted of or displayed. Very similar to the next phrase, is not puffed up. This is all related to pride. It's a me mentality. It's when love is focused on others. Love is focused on your spouse. Pride is focused on the individual as it is pointed inward instead of outward. And if the husband and wife love one another properly, if they die to themselves to live for the other, then both of them are covered. Both of them are loved. It's perfect unity centered around love. But when one decides to look inward and is only considering themselves and they don't consider the other spouse, then the pride of one will squash the other. Love and true love always weighs in the balance what their actions will cause to the other. Moving on down, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. First emphasis is on love doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly means not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming, indecent. So love doesn't behave itself in such a way that it is unbecoming to love. Now, love is under attack today. You talk about love out in the world, and it is under attack. It's under attack for many reasons. You know, love has often been misrepresented to the point that few seem to actually believe in true love anymore. Men, women, boys, and girls have been violated, beaten, taken advantage of by those that claim to love them. Young ladies have been told by some boy that he loves her just to end up using her and then skipping out on her. Young men have been told by some girl that she loves him just to use him and take advantage of him and then to skip out on him after the fact. And what this has done is it has cheapened the word love. It's made love something that few believe it even exists. And this is the danger of love behaving itself unseemly. It's unbecoming to love. It's unbecoming to what God designed love to be. Now, we've all dealt with folks, maybe at times, who struggle with love based off experiences that they've had. Up north at the church there at Caesarea, when we first got there, there was a lady there, and she spent most of her life on the back of a Goldwing, Honda Goldwing, and she was married to a biker, and he was full-fledged in that MC culture and everything that went with it, and she was a rough lady when we first met her. And you know, after a while, Sarah and I, we told her, was like, "Hey, we love you, we love you." And she's like, "Don't say that." She was very serious about it. She's like, "Don't say that. Don't ever say that to me. No, you don't." And that was her. That was her way. That's the way she went about it. And you know what? We just kept trying to befriend her and kept working with her and kept trying to love on her and stuff. And she was kind of rough at first. She didn't want the door open for her. She had a walker. She had a walker. And there was a little step by the door. She was like, no. She didn't want help. You touch that cart, touch that door, she'd get upset. She was used to some degree, having to fend for herself and take care of herself because she was in a relationship where she wasn't loved. She was in a relationship where she was mistreated, where she was abused, and she was knocked down the stairs when she was pregnant early on in their relationship and lost the baby. As a result, this is some, had a frying pan taken up next to her head in their marriage or in their relationship. But this is all by a man who said, "I love you." So she had major issues with love within reason. So sometimes when people say stuff like that, don't get upset with them. Spend time and work with them. Try and work them through why they don't believe in love. Work through with somebody who says, "I'll never get married again." You might not know what their marriage was like. Try and work with them. Try and be gracious with them and love on them. And you know what? With her, within probably about 2 years, she was telling us that she loved us. Because you take time and you invest in people. But there are people out there who struggle with love as a result of love behaving itself unseemly. It's unbecoming of love. It's unbecoming to what God designed love to be. Notice the next phrase, seeketh not her own. Love is not self-centered, it is others-centered. Next, it's not easily provoked. Provoked means excited, roused, incited, made angry, incensed. Now, this is another big one at times in marriages. Love is not easily angered by our spouses. Now, the other side of things we must bring up is that we should also not set out to provoke one another. Sometimes we know, if you've been married long enough, what the other gets upset about. It's not a major thing. It's not a Bible thing. Just leave it alone. You know, the longer Sarah and I have been married, probably the more we pray for each other. Say, Lord, just work on this. If there's something I can do, tell me about it, and then I'll go in. But I'm going to give it to you. We're going to pray about it. Love thinketh no evil. In the relationship, you have to guard yourself. This is important. From evil thinking. It could even be immoral thinking. That could be allowing your mind to run off with assumptions without facts. You know, the devil's goal is to ruin the marriage. It's to ruin every marriage in here. And all the devil has to do is get it in your head, something. And it could ruin a marriage. There are ministries that have been ruined. No facts involved. Just somebody got it in their head. Marriage is ruined at times, but somebody got something in their head. You got to guard your thoughts about one another. In verses 6 and 7, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So emphasis here on beareth all things. Love is able to carry some heavy loads, heavy burdens. Love should have strong shoulders. Love should be able to bear one another and all that we come with. And we do come with a lot. All of us come with a lot. Our personalities have strengths. Our personalities have weaknesses. We got our positives. We got our negatives. And you know what? Our human nature is what it is. And, you know, sometimes we can just be a lot to handle. But love beareth all things. It's amazing. In the time that I've been in the church, the things that I've seen take place, and not this church. When I say church, sometimes it's a broad meaning, the churches that I've been in. But it's amazing the things that I've seen true love bear. There are things that the world can't handle. The world doesn't know much about grace. The world doesn't know much about long-suffering. The world doesn't know much about forgiveness. It doesn't. And I have seen the Lord do a work in homes. And I've seen the Lord do a work in marriages. Love, true love, beareth all things. It's essentially saying, you know what? You got problems and I got problems. Please bear me and I'm going to bear you. All our troubles, our problems, our difficulties, trials, and struggles. Say, you know what? I'm going to bear it. Why? Because I love you, so I'm going to bear it. Next, believeth all things. So love's also honest. True love is at face value. You look at it, and you can see it for what it is. So where true love is present, there's also a trust factor. We have to develop our love and relationship to the point where one or the other says something, we believe it. But that comes in time by characterizing love in our honesty to one another. Because true love is also honest. Trust is the easiest thing to lose, but the hardest thing to regain. You know, if you think about it, even in culture, most people will trust you until you give them a reason not to. But once trust is lost, trust must then be regained, which is hard. It takes two people.
one who's willing to be honest and another that is willing to give the other the opportunity to regain trust that was lost. And these are all things on the matter of trust. Charity believeth all things. Notice also hopeth all things. Hopes defined as a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. So what this is saying is that true love will be hopeful. I've said this many a times. People who have no hope will go where the hopeless are. True love says, I am hopeful that we'll make this work. I dare say nobody gets into their marriage thinking about an exit strategy. Maybe people out in the world do for some reason or another if they're not getting married for the right reasons. But, I mean, we don't go into our marriages thinking about an exit strategy. So when things pop up, and they will, you know, we should be hopeful that, hey, you'll turn things around. True love says, I'm hopeful that no matter what, we're going to make this thing work. There's a phrase within the definition of hope that says, hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. So true love will not only be hopeful, but to accompany that is an expectation. In biblical terms, this expectation could be coined faith. See, hope and faith are interwoven together. Faith brings the hope and the desire home to us. Faith in God and His ability to work in the lives of others has saved countless marriages. Lastly, in 1 Corinthians 13:7, notice the phrase, endureth all things. The word endureth means to bear, to sustain, to support without breaking or yielding to force or pressure. Think of endurance. Love endures. No matter what happens, love endures. True love says, I know how you are, but I love you anyway. True love says, I know we have our hard times, we've had our difficult days and our trials, but I love you anyway. There's times you may do something that I do not like or say something that I do not like, but I love you anyway. And by the way, this passage here doesn't just apply to marriages. It applies in general. This is the golden standard for love. And we're to be this way with everybody. Everybody. We're to be this way with everybody. No matter what, I'm going to love you. Love endures attacks. Love fights off the enemies of what stands. So again tonight, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.